the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
The Pretoria High Court ruled earlier this year that cryptocurrencies do not qualify as currency or capital under South Africa's exchange control regulations. This judgment makes it clear that until the law is amended, cryptocurrency transfers outside of South Africa are not covered by exchange control rules. The case was brought by Standard Bank against the South African Reserve Bank, which is appealing the ruling. That appeal will be heard in 2026. Until then, the High Court ruling is suspended, which means crypto transfers abroad fall under exchange controls. Now, this all arose when a Standard Bank client under investigation by the Financial Surveillance Unit at the Reserve Bank was found to have transferred 4,400 Bitcoin to an exchange in the Seychelles. The FinServ unit then applied to forfeit more than 16 million rand belonging to the company that was then under insolvency proceedings. And that account was held by Standard Bank. Standard Bank successfully opposed the forfeiture. What does all this mean for the future of crypto transfers? There's a lot of uncertainty around the case. Well, to help us make sense of it all, we're joined now by June Chong, partner at law firm Weber Wentzel. Hi, June. Thanks for joining us. This Pretoria High Court case where they rule that cryptocurrencies are not capital or currency, maybe help us understand it a bit better. If the Reserve Bank is appealing that, what is the legal status of anyone transferring crypto abroad?
The legal status is in limbo, and that is precisely the problem. The High Court judgment ruled that crypto transfers fall outside the exchange control regulations because cryptocurrencies are not currency and they're also not capital under the 1961 definitions. The court's interpretation is in line with the SARB and the IFWG position paper in 2021. Now, who's IFWG? IFWG is a collaborative body of financial regulators that was formed to understand and respond to the impact of fintech. Members of IFWG include National Treasury and SARB. The IFWG position paper in 2021 states that regulations should be amended to include crypto assets in Regulation 10.4. That is one of the recommendations. Yet, if we look at the Reserve Bank Authorized Dealers Manual and the SARB website, they provide that FinServ cannot approve these crypto transfers. However, individuals can still buy crypto from abroad using their normal allowances. These are the 1 million rand per year without tax clearance or up to 10 million a year with tax clearance. If you also look at the IFWG frequently asked questions on crypto assets, they reflect a similar position. Externalizing capital, which includes crypto assets, is covered already under the regulations. And contravening these regulations is a criminal offense. In other words, FinServ already treats crypto transfers as if they fall under exchange controls. They require banks to monitor and report them, even though, as the High Court judgment pointed out, there is no legal basis for doing so. So individuals are caught between a rock and a hard place. Technically, based on the High Court judgment, crypto transfers should not be restricted because they're not covered. But until the SCA rules in 2026 and we have a clear judgment or Parliament amends the regulations, financial institutions are erring on the side of caution and treating them as if they are controlled.
It's difficult for lay people like myself to understand why, if there are no regulations covering the export of crypto, that the High Court ruling could be suspended simply because it's being appealed by the Reserve Bank. We know that crypto exchanges are complying with this because they're reporting any transfers of crypto that take place across border. But where's the law? There is no law for this. There are no regulations for this. So you mentioned we're in limbo. Why should we be assuming that there is a law in place?
Kieran, it depends on which interpretation you adopt. If you adopt the High Court judgment view, then crypto asset transfers are not covered under the regulations. But if you adopt the SARB view and the heads of argument in the leave to appeal, and also what they put out in the manual and the frequently asked questions, crypto assets are already covered in the regulations under money or foreign currency or capital or a right to capital as they are defined and understood under the existing wording of the regulations. FinServ in the leave to appeal argue that The court should interpret these old regulations in a modern way to keep up with new technology such as crypto assets. Saab argues that leaving crypto assets out of the definitions in the existing wording creates a loophole that undermines the ExCon policy of protecting our currency and stopping illegal money from leaving the country. The legal basis for currency exchanges currently reporting shipments of crypto assets would probably on the basis that they are financial institutions, they are highly regulated, and they simply do not want to be at risk of contravening the law, whether it's the technical interpretation or this always speaking interpretation adopted by FINSA. So that, in my view, is their legal basis.
Yeah, many people find exchange controls to be a relic of the apartheid years, and yet here they are. They're still with us. They've been around forever. It does bring to mind a previous case, Mark Shuttleworth, the South African entrepreneur. He took on the Reserve Bank in 2015 when he tried to move his wealth abroad. He was the founder of eThought, which he sold, made a lot of money from that, and he tried to externalize his income. He was charged a 10% exit levy on that, and he took the Reserve Bank to court. That ruling was criticized at the time, but I guess because he was a billionaire, he didn't get a lot of sympathy. The Constitutional Court, oddly enough, found nothing wrong with this, saying it was a regulatory matter, that it was okay for the Reserve Bank to impose a 10% exit levy. But with cryptocurrencies, we have digital assets that do not respect borders. So maybe explain, what are the differences here between these two cases?
The differences between the Shuttleworth case and Standard Bank case are fundamental, both legally and practically. Shuttleworth was moving conventional money abroad. There was no dispute about whether the money was capital under the regulations. Everyone agreed it was. The question was whether the 10% exit levy was constitutional. The Constitutional Court said yes. The 10% exit levy was a legitimate regulatory tool. In Standard Bank, we are dealing with a definitional dispute. Does Bitcoin fall within the ambit of capital in Regulation 101C? Bitcoin is a string of digital code that did not exist when the 1961 regulations were promulgated. That's a very different question faced by the court in the Shuttleworth case. There is also a crucial procedural difference. Shuttleworth was purely a civil case and a regulatory matter. There was no criminal liability and there was no forfeiture at stake. The Standard Bank case involves potential criminal penalties and asset forfeiture. The High Court held that this triggers the DA versus ANC principle in the Concord case. Any ambiguity in a penalty provision must be resolved in favor of liberty. The other key difference between the two cases is that Bitcoin does not respect borders in the way conventional currency does. Shuttleworth was trying to physically move money through the banking system. With crypto assets, you have a completely different scenario. The 1961 regulations were designed for a world of physical money and bank transfers and airport declarations. As the High Court judgment observed, how do you declare Bitcoin at a border? How do you deposit with authorities? The regulations as they stand do not contemplate this technology.
Now, June, there have been a lot of recommendations to amend regulations to rope in cryptos into the exchange control net. Even the Reserve Bank itself in 2021 acknowledged that cryptos fell outside regulations. In other words, that they were neither currency nor capital. So here we have the Reserve Bank seemingly in a very contradictory position. They admit in 2021 that they're not capital and currency, and yet here we are arguing before the court that they are. How are we South Africans to make sense of this, and aren't we entitled to better clarity from the law?
Yes, we are. Clarity really sits at the heart of the law. We should be able to understand clearly from the wording of the law what conduct is allowed and what is not. The High Court judgment applying the DA versus ANC principle agrees that the regulations do not cover crypto assets. So at present, we are in a transitional space. Reserve Bank and National Treasury have both recognized that the 1961 regulations were never written with digital assets in mind. The IFWG in the position paper has already recommended that Regulation 10.4 be amended to include crypto assets in the definition of capital. The High Court judgment emphasized that lawmaking is the function of Parliament. Until Parliament completes the process, we rely on the interpretation and interim guidance from regulators for clarity. Unfortunately, I imagine this grey area will still exist for some time until we get the hearing in 2026.
Finally, June, there was another case where exchange control regulations were amended to include intellectual property. That was the oil well case. But it always seems that the law is about 10 steps behind events. So maybe just talk about this. How come intellectual property is now considered to be capital, yet we have crypto assets falling into this limbo area? Bearing in mind as well that something like Bitcoin, as you already mentioned, does not respect borders. You know, technically it's possible to take a Bitcoin off of a hard wallet and transfer it across borders into a decentralized exchange without any authorities knowing about this. Do you think we need to rethink our entire exchange control regime in light of this case and other events like it that are happening?
Kiran, your observation of the Alwell case is spot on. In this case, the SCA held that capital in Regulation 101C did not include intellectual property. Within 15 months of the date of the judgment, Parliament inserted Regulation 104 to include IP in capital. Exchange controls were designed for a very different world. It is a world where capital moves through banks, across physical borders in tangible forms. Your example is accurate, but that is how the crypto assets technology works by design. So now we have a choice. Do we try to retrofit 1961 regulations onto 2025 technology? Computers didn't exist in 1961. The IFWG's 2021 position paper shows the right approach, and many of the recommendations have been implemented. XCON is already a lot less restricted. South Africa needs exchange controls that work in the digital age. We have the expertise and talent to lead in digital finance. IFWG work demonstrates the commitment of our regulators to choose clarity over confusion and partnership over punishment. Going forward, we do not want legal disputes where specific institutions are targeted for historic transgressions when the law was not clear. We hope that regulators, through IFWG, will build a clear legal framework that fosters innovation in fintech. The future of finance needs regulators and innovators working together, not against each other.
We're going to leave it there. Thank you very much, June Chong, partner at law firm Weber Wenzel, for unpacking the status of cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin in terms of the law and whether we can move them across borders or not. And we look forward to catching up with you when this case is heard again in 2026.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.